Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today we are going across the water. But before we do that, Martin, how have you been?
Across the water, Tony. You know me, still going. Looking forward to this conversation. It's well across the water, so you better tell people who's here.
Yeah, look, just be if you can listen, folks, you may be able to hear the last call to prayer for the evening, because we are joined by journalist Hannah Salah in Gaza and Palestine. Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us again.
Thank you. Thank you for including these topics about Palestine. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We are delighted to do it. Listen, I conscious that, you know, when we last spoke, the global pandemic that was COVID-19 was starting to take effect across your community. It was already a disadvantaged hugely and had lack of access to resources. How have things been since then?
Actually, in Gaza, the situation is different. In all the world and all the countries have a specific situation. But for Gaza, the coastal enclave that is living under Israeli blockade and Israeli restrictions since 2007 until now, is facing a hard situation because the economy is on the verge of collapse, and you know that the unemployment rate is the highest in the region. Even it exceeds 70%. Even the health sector is having a lot of problems because there is a deficit in the equipment and many types of medicine due to the restrictions also on the border and also the political division. So the situation is hard. It's the number of positive cases is increasing, and in the last week, it has reached the peak of its numbers.
Yeah, and I suppose we need to put that. I'm glad you put that in context, because I was kind of sloppy to say that. But the truth is, you know, when you're facing a blockade that will not allow you to bring in medicines for you know, since 2007, how do you prepare for a pandemic? The answer to that is you can't. You say the numbers have reached their all-time high. In terms of the medical capacity, is there any increased capacity, or are things much worse than they were when we last talked?
Actually, the situation is going worse even at the formal level, because today, for example, I was speaking to formal sources from the Ministry of Health, and they have confirmed that the numbers are increasing, and we cannot do the test for even the positive cases. We know that they show symptoms, but we cannot do the test for them due to the huge number and the pressure on the health sector. We don't have the needed material to do the test for all these cases. So the number that is recorded in a daily basis is 800 in average, and you can say that it is increasing more than this. One of the human rights institutions in Gaza has sent like alarming report and said that 2 million people in Gaza are in the risk of being tested positive because they are living under this living condition where many people are crowded in the same area, and the precautionary procedures are not enough to protect the people, because even if they are infected, the health system cannot help them to cope or to decrease the situation. So the equipment they have, especially the oxygen for these critical cases, is limited. They cannot receive more than 100 patient in a critical case for 14 days. So if we have, for example, now we have about 9,000 active case in Gaza, and this number is huge, but the situation is a little bit, we can say, not that much danger, because the death percentage is not that much big to say that today we cannot deal with the situation. But in the next few days, the winter is coming, and the situation will be harder, because people will feel the symptoms more, and the critical cases might increase. So the health sector will face like pressure, because they have to deal with a lot of cases that will need care, and the medical staff cannot deal with this huge number. Also, just to mention for you one case, I have a friend that is working in the Ministry of Social Development, and he told me today that today is the day number 8 after he called the Minister of Health to come or to at least tell him when he can do the test, because he showed all the symptoms. He is living with his father and mother, and he has also 6 daughters and his wife. They are all infected, and he is the only one who could do the test in one of the UNRWA, United Nations Relief and Work Agency for the Palestinian Refugees in Middle Area in Gaza. They accepted to do the test only for him. So when he tested positive, he came back to his home, and he told his family that he should stay in home. He contacted the Ministry of Health. They could not give him even Panadol, anything that can decrease these symptoms. So the UNRWA also is facing financial crisis. Not all the refugees in Gaza can receive a good level of support from UNRWA, because there is a financial problem since about 3 years, we can say, and this is a big problem for them.
And as the winter comes in, does that mean that the Gaza has a lot of outdoor living? Does that mean that people will come indoors and that will increase infection rates?
Actually, the atmosphere now is warm, and you cannot feel that much cold. But in the coming 2 weeks, you will feel cold, and the symptoms will increase. So, and even for families, yani, all of us live with families, even a small family or a big family in a building. The buildings are nearby each other. There is a huge density bare area in Gaza Strip. You know, 2 million people are blockaded since 2007, and they cannot exchange population, and they are squeezed, and there is 38% of the agricultural area is empty, just as you cannot access this area. It's called ARA, the access restricted area by Israeli forests. So there is a huge number of people in same space. So this will not be this will not give the people ability to take precautionary measures. You will be infected in any way, so you have to keep yourself away from any possibility to be infected, because you will infect many others in your family, which is extended families, actually, not a small family.
And Gaza is one of the most densely populated areas in the world. Like, it's one of the most densely. So COVID-19 is a virus that can be transmitted by touch and aerosol, and you know, it is endemic. So the numbers, and am I right in saying that I understood you when you said not only are you getting 800 cases a day, you don't have enough tests to actually indicate that it could be much higher than that?
Yes, exactly. The number of tests that we have is limited. For example, my friend in the Middle Area told me that when he went to UNRWA to test if he's positive, he told me that in his area it's only 10 available tests, and they were making like a choice to do to him or to other cases that might be in need if they have other health issues.
Hannah, just... And then putting that, okay, let's just pretend COVID doesn't exist for a few minutes. The blockade is still in place, and you said 70% unemployment rate. So the economy is clearly, as you said, on the brink of collapse. But it's always on the brink of collapse. Has there, since the American election, has there been any change in the music of international support? Now that the idea that Donald Trump may not be U.S. president in January?
Until now, I don't feel, or I did not hear about change, but I hear that Palestinians maybe feel that there is hope in this change, because, you know, a lot of restrictions has been imposed during Trump period, and now I think that Palestinians are they are in hope that this change could do something good for at least the financial aid that goes for the international NGOs that support Palestinian refugees in Gaza. For example, UNRWA on the top of these institutions.
Yeah, I have seen, like, we had Seamus Malakavazi who writes about Iran and about the situations in Lebanon, and he touched on the basis that, you know, unfortunately Palestine continues to be a tool that they've used just to punish people and show, and Israel has used that. During this period, the concern is obviously that Netanyahu might use the period to actually extend settlements and do that sort of stuff. Is there still talk of that happening, or has that eased off?
I think that Palestinians know very well that Israel will complete its plans, and maybe nothing can stop these plans. What they can do is that they need to continue their resistance and to object at least in at all levels. I think that they are trying to do some changes, but this is not that much clear at this time of the year.
Hmm.
Is there any feeling that the Irish government is giving support, and that the upcoming seat they have on the UN, that they could use that seat as leverage to help?
Yani Gaza people has always learned and knew many Irish activists who are supporting the Palestinians in their issue. I think that the voice of many nationalities that of people who supported the Palestinian issue is heard by Palestinians in Gaza. You know, the electricity shortage, the economic situation, any normal thing in Gaza can restrict you from reaching to the other world. So they maybe don't hear in this week or on this day about this support, but by the end of the day, they know that there are many people who are supporting them, and their voice can be reached if they have like a normal life. But Palestinians in Gaza don't have this normal life to follow up everything that is going on outside the world. So they are trying to send their voice. They are trying to send their suffering, and they demand their own rights just to be as normal human of the world.
Hannah, that brings us on to your recent article that you wrote for Al Jazeera in terms of wanting a normal place in the world, and what you're writing about the women in Gaza and their demand to the authorities locally to work in whatever capacity they can. Do you want to just tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yes, actually, it's a very connected topic to what we are saying. It's the unemployment that reached the highest level, and even for the situation of coronavirus, and there is no much jobs that are available. It's like any area in the world, and even the government in Gaza has many times discussed imposing lockdown on Gaza. But for two reasons, the unemployment is high, and many people depend on daily wage. So if they have imposed the lockdown, so many people will die, not from corona, but from poverty. So how can they live if they will not be able to work? So many people in Gaza feel that it's difficult to find a job. The highest percent is for females who cannot find suitable jobs. One of those female that is now famous in Gaza called Naila. Naila is 39 years old, and she is a mother of five. She is now working as the first Gaza female driver, taxi driver, and this actually was supported by many people here in Gaza. But you know, this is type of change in the community. Gaza did not before accept women to do the job that used to be for men. For example, the taxi driver cannot be for women, and the community don't accept this. But the role of women in Gaza is changing because of the economic situation. Now, many families are female-headed families, and the women are forced to go out and to find a job because she need to feed her sons. She is responsible, and the men mostly feel the despair. They cannot do any job. They just feel the despair because of the situation, because of the responsibilities of their houses. So many women went out and tried this new opportunities. But unfortunately, Naila faced a lot of objection also from many people, even in drivers in the street. They start to shout on her and to say that go home, this is not your place, and to say many, many things that not good for her as a woman. So she insisted to continue. And when the media published about her, the problem has increased because now her family don't want her to be well known in this job. So she is struggling, but she said that she will insist on continue her work. She has bought this car from her money that her father left for her after his death. And now she is continuing in this driving. Many female, passengers in Gaza were encouraged to go with her for driving for a very long or short drive in Gaza for shopping or for going to normal places for social occasions. They feel that they are more comfortable because, you know, they said, for example, if she went out very well, you know, this is a conservative community. Men are curious just to see. So they don't feel comfortable to go in a car with male. So they are encouraging Naila. And Naila said that she wants to establish like a fleet of cars that are female drivers are using these cars and they go with female only passengers.
Anna, how is the situation in politics and education? Are women getting enough or a fair share in politics and education?
I did not get the question. Can you just repeat it?
I will. How are women faring in politics and education? Are they getting enough of a fair share in both politics and education?
In the Palestinian Legislative Council, there is a quota for women, but you know that it's not easy for women to reach this level. And most of women who reach this level went through many struggles, many levels of a struggle at the family side, because, you know, it's an extended family. So her uncles might object, her any other family members might object. So if they keep this struggle, it will not be easy for them. So because the number of those women is increasing, so other models, we can say, are successfully have reached many positions. But, you know, most of the work or most of the political work related to military factions or related to very sensitive political issues. So the number of women that are leading on the political level is not that much in appearance. But you know that the Palestinian women are raising those men, and Palestinian women are putting those principles on the Palestinian men. So she is doing the rule, but you can say it's like in the economy, we can say it's underground economy or the unseen economy, the unseen rule of women. You cannot see or you cannot count this, but you can feel that she contributes to the development and to the economy. But this is not clear.
You mentioned that it's a conservative community, and that, you know, that battle for equality for women is difficult. How is that translating into as Martin said, into education? Are the schools, first of all, are the schools open for everybody, and how are they open in terms of the women and children, or boys and girls equally?
Now, for education, all families insist insist on their girls to continue their education. The Palestinian community is a well-educated community. You cannot find a family that force her girl to not continue her education. Even if she want to get married, they sometimes delay until she finish her education, or they impose that she need to continue her education even if she is married from this man. So it's a well-educated community. But regarding the separation, yes, there is a separation. For example, for me, when I went to the university, it's only four girls who wanted to continue their master's degree in economics development. But because their number is not sufficient for the university, they banned us as four women to be engaged with 20 male students and to be merged in one lecture. So I have waited 1.5 years to have a separated and new branch of the economics development department for females. I needed a number. So, you know, the conservative community is restricting the freedom to the freedom of women sometimes, or delay her progress or her development. For example, I supposed to finish my master's degree since 2 or 3 years, but I have waited until they counted more girls in the department. But for male students, for example, they have finished since 2 years. Why? Because 20 of them has continued their work, their education. And what is more important now is that the percent of unemployed female is more than the employed males. They don't see the woman in the workplace, and they feel that she should be in home, in house. She should educate her children. Mm-hmm. Education is important because she has a role, but they don't believe that this role should be in work or in these fields outside home. That's the problem of the conservative community. You can say that it can give her freedom in one side and actually restrict her from having freedom in another side. So many women have succeeded to overcome these obstacles, but this remains a problem, and the change is not easy. And sometimes you feel that there is a change, but this is not something positive. For example, when they accepted the female-headed family, the female-headed women or families to start do any work, this not because they accept women to have their freedom. No, because they know that she has responsibilities and there is no solution other than this. So they barely accept her to go for this type of work. But the choices for women, the opportunities for women are limited.
Hannah Salah in Palestine and Gaza, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and please mind yourself, and we hope to talk to you in the next little while. Martin,
just want to remind patrons thank you very much, Hannah. Just want to remind patrons that these pods cost a lot, and we need more patrons ASAP, so stick your hand in your pocket over to patreon.com/tortoiseshack.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe.